Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the gifts and talents you have given to each one of us. We thank you that you use us to serve in many different ways. Please take our acts of service and use them to bless others. Thank you for those who serve us. Help us to follow the example of Jesus, who gave his life in service. Amen.
So I wanted to talk about slaves and servants. And I just put some pictures there of slaves and servants. So that's actually Naaman in the top left-hand corner, if you hadn't worked that out. And there's Jesus washing somebody's feet and a carer, some African slaves and some, sort of a Downton Abbey type household servants. So there's a whole history here of people who serve us in all sorts of different ways. What I wanted to talk about, though, was the young girl who was serving Naaman's wife suggested Naaman should see Elisha. She was a servant. The king sent his servant Naaman to see Elisha. Elisha then sent his servant back to see Naaman. Finally, Naaman's servant reminded Naaman that God had asked him to perform a simple act. So in this case, the outcome was Naaman's healing. And God was able to use people who were kind of slaves or servants in the ancient Near East. But what I want to do now is to think about what that means us for today, because actually there's a very strange story. It doesn't really relate to modern life at all. Life today is very different. So I want to talk about slavery and servants. And as you see, I just wanted to mention stop the traffic. So the Bible reflects the sort of the ancient cultural habits of the time, and they are very different from the you know, what happens in our modern and Western world. So we just need to be very clear about that, that we understand nowadays that slavery is wrong and it shouldn't be allowed, and we need to fight against it. People should not be bought and sold. And if you've been to Spring Harvest over the years, you'll know that this charity, Stop the Traffic, was founded as part of Spring Harvest many years ago and now continues to fight oppression. What you might not know, or perhaps you do know, is that nowadays there are more slaves than there ever have been. We sometimes think this is something that happened a long time in the past. Sadly, that's not true. There are more slaves today than any other time in history, which is really very shocking. And just today, and over the last few days, there's been something related to slave human trafficking, which has shocked all of us, I think. And that was just a short distance from here in London. But actually, there's been a number of arrests in this area. So the modern slave trade is actually alive and well and quite active in this area. So we've had this arrest recently in Guildford. That comment, the second one down, the 23rd of June 2017, that was actually the first prosecution under the Modern Slavery Act that happened in Guildford. The actual court setting was there. And just as sort of a comment, we have many people in this area who have au pairs. And au pairs are, potentially in a very vulnerable position in a different country with poor language skills and very easily to take advantage of. So just want to kind of set the scene. When we talk about slavery, we want to be very clear, that's not a good thing. And there's things that we can do about it. One of the things that was quite interesting, or even shocking, on the recent news broadcasts was the fact that people had seen other lorries arriving, and immigrants, people breaking the law, had come off those lorries. And if that had been reported, maybe that would have made a difference. So there is things that we can do to actually spot slavery. Slavery is kind of a secret thing. It happens all around us, but we need to keep our eyes open. And this is a slide from the Surrey Police about how we can keep our eyes open, looking out for modern slavery. So that's super important. It is all around us, not massively so, but we are responsible for keeping our eyes open and alerting the authorities. So you can do that by actually calling that number. There's actually a helpline there. The Surrey Police have a helpline. You can call 101. You just have to have any sort of concern. They are extremely helpful and open to that. And in fact, Stop the Traffic actually have an app that you can use that to kind of spot and report suspicious behaviour. And again, that can be looked into because, you know, people are needing our help. So just kind of want to, you know, address the kind of what's happening right now in our society to do with modern slavery. But most of what I wanted to talk about was, you know, we looked at slaves and we're now looking at servants and actually thinking about servants of God. We've already seen and acknowledged that slavery itself is wrong. It's very wrong indeed. So it's really very surprising, if not astonishing, that Jesus talks to his followers and asks them or tells them that they should be servants or slaves. So this is kind of really surprising because this was in the world of ancient Roman Greek civilization. They understood far better than we do the sorts of how oppressive being a slave could be. So what was it that Jesus was saying here, and how does that speak to us today? How are we to understand this, what is it on the face of it, a very strange command indeed? So Jesus actually says, whoever would be great amongst you must first be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. So servant and slave kind of used fairly interchangeably. But I think it is very different from the kind of the slavery that was current in the Roman Empire, because that was oppressive. You didn't get any choice. You were owned. You were owned for life. There were some ways that you could actually escape from slavery, but it was very oppressive. You were literally owned. You had no rights, very few rights, and life was not going to be so good. So what is different about Jesus? Jesus makes it clear that when he's talking about being a servant, it's not this legal kind of oppressive relationship, but it's a voluntary and chosen submission based on both love, commitment, and choice. So this is a very different sort of servant relationship. In John 13, Jesus said this. So this was at the Last Supper. So he was now preparing his disciples for the fact that he was shortly going to be executed. When he'd finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. And he said to them, do you understand what I have just done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for this is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And so in this kind of Last Supper speech of Jesus to his disciples, he kind of effectively turns the world upside down. And he says, the least will be greatest, and the greatest will be least. He's actually literally turning the world upside down there, and turning upside down the way that his servants, his followers, people like ourselves, who regard ourselves as followers of Christ, we are now called to live as servants of Christ. So what does this new upside down way of living look like, and how can we practically live as servants of Christ? It's very different to the story that we have with Naaman. So I just want to look at some practical ways that we can learn to live as servants of Christ today and offer you some simple prayers that you can take with you into this week and further beyond that, just to help you and I live as servants of Christ in effectively what is an upside down world. So I think the first thing we need to say is that we need to start seeing differently. This is a famous statue here of a homeless person. And I think it's in Glasgow. But actually, it's a homeless person representing Christ, which you can tell by the nails in the feet. When we see things, we need to see things as Jesus would see them. Perhaps not just seeing a homeless person, but seeing someone who actually Christ loves and who wants to help. And again, and I want to try and bring sort of some scriptures to all these observations. These are scriptures from Matthew 25. And when we see people who are hungry or thirsty or strangers or need clothes or sick were in prison. We need to see them how God sees them and see that we have a responsibility to start helping them. So this is a different way of looking in the world. It's not seeing people who have needs and ignoring them. It's seeing them and recognizing that we have a responsibility to help them. And again, my prayers are very, very simple. You know, as we're going out, through our normal day's activities, whatever those might be, school, travel, home, holiday, whatever, we can make this our prayer. Help me to see differently. Help me to see things like God sees them, like Jesus sees them, in this new upside-down world. And we need to feel differently too. It's not just about seeing things, but feeling differently too. You know, the scriptures say, in one of the most famous prayers that Paul prays, if I can get my words right there, is for us as followers of Christ, is that we might be filled with God's love, and that love would transform us and transform the way we behave. And if I just kind of read a couple of those verses out, they're kind of it's a snapshot over there. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all God's, the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and deep and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Or not just filled to the measure of love, but that love overflowing into how we behave and feel. As we start to be filled with God's love, we start to feel differently. We see different things, we feel different things. And again, you know, a prayer that we can just take with us, it's so simple. Help us to feel differently. As we do that now, we kind of start to think differently. As we see and we feel differently, we start to think differently. We start to see Christ as the center of our lives. We can see the purpose of our lives is in serving God and sharing his love with others. And this is easy to say, it's hard to do, but our values, our ambitions, our hopes, and our thoughts all start to change. And I want to call that out in two particular ways that we can think differently. I think there's probably loads more, but I'm trying to keep this very, very sort of kind of punchy and straightforward. We start thinking differently, and that's something that the Bible helps us to do. But we want to think differently about how we see other people. We start to place a high value on the interests of others and ourselves. And it's really important, I think, in that scripture that we think about the value and interest of others, but also ourselves. If we're not in a good state, we can't help others. And super important, live a life of thanks. You know, it's just such great advice. If you can wake up every morning, think of two or three things that you can be thankful for. That's the sort of simple thing that can start transforming your day and helping us to live as servants of God. So again, help us to think differently. And kind of relationships. So that's kind of a big subject, but relationships start to become absolutely central to our lives. And things, success, things, houses, homes, all sorts of good things, sport and leisure, you know, although it might be an exception at the moment with the rugby, I realise that. I'm not a big rugby fan, but I appreciate that's just me. They start to become less important, and our relationship with God becomes more central, and more important to us is the people around us. We start to care more about them. We start to think more about spending perhaps less time at work, more time with our folks, more times with our families. So we can make our relationships more important than our jobs, and it's really important that we do that. So again, help me to relate differently. This is something that perhaps men might struggle with more than the ladies. Act and pray differently. So all of these things start us to lead and to act and pray differently. But our actions and prayers are always in response to what's God done. So as we kind of think about us as servants, it's like, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to change our lives? What are we going to do differently? And here, the scriptures are extremely surprising. It just says, I'm not expecting you to think of lots of new things, lots of new amazing things that you could do to please God or to help God's work get done. It's the other way around. God has already thought of things that he wants us to do. He's already given us the talents. He's already given us the abilities. He's already put us in the situation where he wants us to be. So it's kind of turning it the way around. We've got to say, "What God, what do you want us to do?" And that's pretty amazing. And that leads us to kind of start to think and to pray differently. And I kind of love this prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, where he kind of, now he talks about, you know, "In my almighty, eternal, just and merciful God, grant us the desire to do only what pleases you." So we're kind of trying to find out what God wants us to do and the strength to do it. And it just continues there. So that's a great prayer, acting and praying differently. And again, it's just something we can do on the bus, you know, on the way to work, doing the ironing, whatever it is, help me to act and pray differently. Now, so far, this might be thinking, wow, this sounds rather difficult. I really think a lot of this stuff sounds great, but whoa, how could I possibly do all of this? I'm just a regular person. This sounds a little bit hard. But as Christians, as followers of Christ, we can mess up differently. You know, we are all going to make mistakes. But God is willing us to succeed, and he's a proud and loving parent, encouraging us to learn, forgiving our mistakes, and he's kind of overjoyed when we kind of dust ourselves off, down, and try again. What he always has for us is a message of encouragement. He's not expecting us to get this right. He's expecting us just to try. And I just thought this was kind of, you know, when I sort of was thinking about this, I choked up. I thought, that's just so true. You know, that we forget that God really does love us. He really does like us. And when we mess up and we decide we're just going to, okay, I've done it again, just going to pick myself up, I'm going to keep going, it makes an enormous difference. So we have this amazing ability. We can make mistakes. We can keep going. Lord, help us to mess up differently. Sometimes God is much more willing to forgive us than we are to forgive ourselves. We go, oh, I've done it again. I've done it again. But God doesn't see it that way. He forgives us. We should forgive ourselves. And again, if this all sounds hard, God only expects us to do one step at a time. He just expects us to put, as it were, one foot in front of the other. And we can all do that. We can all do that. So we can walk by faith, trusting God to help us to make those steps, no matter how hard or how small or hesitant those steps might be. And of course, it's so much easier when we take those steps together. And those steps, as I said, kind of help me to take just a step at a time, where it kind of feels, I don't know what it is, but it is just one step at a time. And they're baby steps. They are baby steps. We learn by practicing, by making mistakes. That's how we learn to write. That's how we learn to read. That's how we learn to play football, to play rugby. So that is how we learn to do anything. We start off when we're not very good, and hopefully, as we practice, we get better. And no one has ever learned to walk without falling over again and again and again. But what does a parent or the parents, the grandparents do, and children? They just pick them up. It's not a problem that they've fallen over. That's just part of the process. They just pick them up and help them to learn. And yes, God encourages us just like that. Every time we make a mistake, he just wants to cheer us on, to pick us up, to help us to keep going. And then one day, we can walk, perhaps falteringly, but we get a little bit better. Then we can run, then we can cycle, and then who knows what's going to happen next. You know, we are step by step becoming different. And that's a prayer. If you just kind of think, oh, it's tough, just help me, Lord. Help me to take that next step, whatever it might be. I was reading a review of this book by Michelle Obama recently, and I just wanted to share some things from that. So Michelle Obama's written this book recently. It's about her whole life story. And what she recognized that was in the different parts of her life, she was becoming a different person. She was a very successful lawyer. She speaks about how she met her husband, Barack Obama, how they fell in love, they started a family. Then Barack said, I feel I want to go into politics. She knew how tough that would be. Then he said, I want to run for the presidency of the United States. She knew how tough that would be. And then, you know, now she became the first lady, and now she has a slightly different role. But throughout all those parts of her life, she realized that she was changing, that the different circumstances of her life were shaping her, But she wasn't becoming somebody else. She was still becoming Michelle Obama, but learning and going, you know, as she went. And she actually had a number of different names for this book, but she called it Becoming because she recognized that that was the story of her life. She was becoming something else. It was still fully her, but she was still becoming. And I just want to leave us with that thought now. What are we becoming? The scriptures tell us that we are becoming like Christ. Are we becoming like Christ in small steps? This isn't something that any of us can feel, wow, this is too big, I can't do this, it's too hard. No, every one of us here can do this. It is in small steps. We make lots of mistakes. God is there to help us. Our friends are here to help us. And growth like this is slow. So I remember talking to a friend back in the Midlands. I think it was actually somebody in her house, and they were talking about spiritual growth. And she just said, well, it's like a plant. It's really slow. We keep thinking we're not growing as Christians because we can't see it. But if you try to watch a plant grow, you don't really see much. But what she said was, we're so impatient. We dig it up, we look at the seed, but that's not good. We just have to be patient. We grow and we grow slowly, and it does happen. We are becoming. We were created to become like Christ. We are becoming like Christ. And this scripture here at the end, again, this will be an opportunity in Life Group to look at these more. It's extraordinary. So God's actually saying he's taking responsibility for our lives. He's taking responsibility for us growing as Christians, growing as disciples. He said, he is saying here that he's begun a good work in us, and he is going to carry it out in us and through us throughout the days of our lives until we meet with him. So we are becoming like Jesus. So I hope that's helpful to you. I mean, there's probably lots more I could have said, but I want to just pick up a few simple points, what I hope were simple points about how we can live differently in this upside down world. Have a prayer. Jesus said, do you understand what I have just done for you? Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them, and you will be a blessing to others. Let's just pray. Father, thank you that you've given us such an amazing privilege and calling, and you've equipped us, and you promised to be with us. We feel it's beyond us, but it's not, with your help. Thank you that you want us to succeed, that you want us to help. Do you want to help us? That you do help us. In this coming week, we pray, help us to be a blessing to others. Even if it's just a small thing, Lord, we want to give it to you and for you. We want to give it back to you because you deserve it. Amen. Have a great week.